Blue White Weekend on Saturday. Completely different. I was wondering going into it if we'd see a little bit of a different set of action going on with Bill O'Brien in there. And first of all, they had offense versus defense instead of blue versus white. Very different from where it usually is. And now on to talk to me about it, Chris Grovich, Black Shoe Diaries. Chris, welcome back in. It's been a little bit here.
You know, it's funny. The last time I talked to you was January 31st, and it was about 70 degrees. And you said to me, it's fool's gold.
Yep.
And here we are. And so if sports radio doesn't work out for you, there's always meteorology.
Hey, AccuWeather's in State College, too. That could help me out.
That's right.
To me, I didn't understand the scoring at all. I was sitting there at the stadium, and I just could not for the life of me figure out how these teams were putting up points on the board. Did you understand that at all?
No, but just as if it was a traditional scoring method, it didn't matter anyway. Yeah. So it was just nice to see football being played and not have to think about any of the other ugliness that's gone on since November.
So what did you take away from it as a whole?
Well, it seems that Rob Bolden, at the very least, has played himself out of the top two. That seems to be the general consensus coming out. But as far as the battle between Matt McGloin and Paul Jones goes, I think that's going to be a little tougher to call. The defense, certainly, I mean, they had 8 sacks, but it's not like you have to drag the quarterback to the ground. But I think there's I think there's a decent foundation on that side of the ball as long as they can find bodies in the defensive backfield. That's going to be really probably what makes or breaks the season in addition to the quarterback position.
So, you know, as I said, we shouldn't make too much of any of this, but I thought Paul Jones was pretty disappointing to me. Maybe it's just the Penn State alumnus in me, but I was really hoping he would kind of seize the reins and seize the opportunity. To me, he looked just as bad as the other two.
I would slightly disagree with that. Because, I mean, let's be clear. None of the three looked very good at all. They all threw a bad interception. Bolden threw a few of them. If Matt McGloin was the type of quarterback who truly could be the game manager who didn't make mistakes, then I think we'd have a real dilemma on our hands as whether, you know, in whether to go with the giant cannon armed underclassman or the steady senior. But McGloin threw a really bad interception. Very late in the play. Really wasn't even looking at the target if you look at the replay, just sort of threw it out there and Jesse Della Valle picked it off. I don't know. I feel like McGloin is going to be the starter when September comes around. It's just a matter of how far behind the other guys, specifically Jones, will be.
It's funny when you look at it. I was watching the game, and I'm thinking, you know, Robert Bolden has all the talent in the world, but he lacks all the confidence to take any chance with any throw that it eats him up inside. While McGloin, he looks great when he completes that pass because he did it so decisively, looks at the play, sees the open receiver, and just does it. The problem is that same exact mindset comes into play when he throws one of those interceptions. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Which one would you rather have?
Well, it's true that you want your quarterback to have a short memory, but I don't think you want it to be that short.
It's good, isn't it?
But with Bolden, he's just a completely different quarterback after he was hurt at Minnesota a few years ago. In that game, he was something like 13 for 17 for about 180 yards and a touchdown, really playing well, the best he had played that entire year in his true freshman year. And since that point, yanked in and out of the lineup. And I've come around on this a little bit. I think the Paternos thought they were really doing him a favor by continuing to start him, continuing to assert that he was the starting quarterback. And in reality, what they were doing was just wrecking his confidence on a weekly basis.
Now, when you look at Shane McGregor, I thought he was the best of the quarterbacks who played at all. And ordinarily, I mean, there's always been those walk-on guys who play late in the blue-white game. You're okay, whatever. But when Matt McGloin went from there to becoming the starting quarterback, I think it set a little bit of a precedent. Is there any chance that Shane McGregor could get a look at the job?
You're not the first person who's asked me this. No, I don't think so.
No.
Just because Bill O'Brien, by his own admission, is not really putting Shane McGregor in this competition. Certainly he's a good kid and a good story and has amazing hair that I am just absolutely jealous of. But I don't think he's a legitimate threat to come off the bench. There would have to be a complete train wreck in front of him for him to get significant playing time. I just don't see that happening.
But, Chris, there is a complete train wreck in front of him.
Well, yeah, it's certainly teetering on the tracks. We can agree on that. It's McGuinn has the experience, certainly. Jones has the potential. Bolden, we're not really sure what's going on between the ears at this point. But I think at the very, I mean, put it this way, and granted, it was a different coaching staff, but McGregor couldn't even get off the bench during the bowl game last year.
I would give this argument here. If Bill O'Brien is not putting Shane McGregor in the conversation, I think it's not because he doesn't think he could play. I think it's for this reason. If he puts Shane McGregor out there, there's less of a chance that they have a 6-7 win season because the leash is going to be short on Bill O'Brien. And if he doesn't come in immediately and have that 6-7-8 game season, there's going to be questions about him. If he puts McGloin in, he knows he's going to win a share amount of games. If he puts McGregor in there, it could become the dumbest decision that has been made in the Big Ten. I think that's one of the main reasons why.
Yeah, and it could be that even if you want to give McGregor the benefit of the doubt, it could also be that Bill O'Brien doesn't want more of a circus at the quarterback position than he already has. Yeah. And I would slightly disagree with the notion that O'Brien has a short leash because Penn State's not going to go out and fire the guy after a year, even 2 years. I mean, they're notoriously generous with their coaches. Granted, this is the crown jewel of the athletic department and what runs the entire ship up there. But I don't think they're going to bail on him even after 2 years unless they're really, really bad.
I should rephrase. I didn't mean that he would get fired if he didn't have a strong first season, but I just think because of who he's replacing, there's extra pressure to succeed in that first year.
Yeah, and that's definitely, I think there's certainly something to that. One of our readers, and I had thought that same exact way, until one of our readers just recently came up with the idea that given how much of a wreck the entire athletic department and the university has been in, Bill O'Brien, pretty much everything he does right now is puppies and sunshine to Penn State fans because he's done all the right things and he's said all the right things. He's given them enough of a nod to the previous administration and the traditions of Penn State while also saying, okay, here's my philosophy and here's how we're going to proceed moving forward. And it seems, just based on the reactions I get on Black Shoe Diaries, people love the guy. They really do. And pretty much everybody was dead set against him when it was announced.
Put it this way, though. I think in the past, Penn State fans gladly accepted having 8-win, 9-win, 10-win seasons over and over again because it was Paterno. There was history there. There was legacy there. I think because none of that's in place, the expectations are going to be higher. I think when people generally assumed in his final 10 years, Penn State was not going to win a championship simply because the coaching staff didn't really have it in them anymore. I think with Bill O'Brien, suddenly because that wall is knocked down, I think there's a greater expectation to at least move to the position to bring Penn State back into the national championship picture.
Well, yeah, and really this divergence of opinions sort of reflects, it's sort of a result of the massive scandal that brought everybody else down because everybody reacted to it in completely different ways. There are some people who still swear that Joe Paterno never did anything wrong. There are people who think that he should have done everything differently.
Yeah.
And it sort of filtered down throughout this process where people's expectations are so wildly divergent on what Bill O'Brien has to do or where the program should be going from here that I can't even talk myself into it. I just have to sit back and see where this thing goes for at least a year or two before trying to get up in arms either way about things because it's just such a weird new experience for everybody that it's going to take some getting used to because there were some people that even during Paterno's final years thought he could do no wrong, even when he was cycling through quarterbacks and putting certain players in the doghouse and bringing them back on the team. There were always questions. And perhaps it's not even different than the people who either blindly supported Paterno or just fought him at every corner during his last few years. So it's weird. It's going to be very, very weird, and I hope it's exciting along the way because certainly exciting football would be a nice change.
The I formation may need to be thrown into the scrap heap at one of these points.
I think you're going to be very right about that. The fullback... may not be extinct yet, but it's there are only a few left roaming the earth up in Happy Valley right now.
But and one of them, Zach Zwinek, actually looked really good. I wonder if he's going to be more of a power back than a fullback coming up here to kind of take over for the fact that Curtis Dukes is kind of an academic problems.
Yeah, I mentioned this on Black Sheep Diaries. Dukes picked a really bad time to get into academic trouble because he was essentially the primary backup heading into this year, and instead they moved Bill Belt into that position. Now Zach Zwinek is looking good. He really got some of the best reviews. We had a reporter go on scene at a few practices. He said Zwinek was just amazing running through people. And there's also Akeel Lynch coming in, who's going to be the third or the fourth running back. So Dukes, you know, we'll see what his status is when he comes back, if he comes back. There's no indication that he's not. But he picked a bad time. And Zwinek, yeah, I mean, certainly if you put Zwinek and Zordich in the backfield, there's your short yardage package. Yeah. And God knows Penn State's had a lot of trouble with third and one and fourth and one in recent years.
So now that we've blue white's behind this and we can just speculate until the, you know, the first game of the season coming up here, I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask a lot of people this, but what is your expected win total this first year?
They have 10 bowl teams on the schedule.
Yeah.
I was just looking at it. The only teams that did not play in a bowl last year, and granted, Illinois was 6-6 and went to some bowl in San Francisco, but it's Navy and Indiana. And Navy traditionally is no joke. They had a bad year last year. So, and Ohio, is not, that opener is not going to be an easy game whatsoever. It's not quite on a level of Toledo, who only finished with one loss when they beat Penn State that year, 10 years ago now. I think 8 is a legitimate goal. 9 would be really nice. It just so depends on the quarterback position and safeties and cornerbacks on defense, because if Ted Roof's aggressive defense starts giving up huge plays, that's going to be a big, big problem. If they start forcing turnovers, hey, you know, everything's cool. But I think 8 or 9 is legitimate. Hopefully they can get to that level, and hopefully they can exceed that.
Well, his defense certainly looked good on Saturday. I don't know how exactly how much he had to do with that, but still. You know what? Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for coming on. Always enjoy everything you guys do at Black Shoe Diaries. I even saw that Devin Edwards, who I used to work with the Lion, I even saw he got some locker room access. That's absolutely great for you guys.
He's a good man, and he does good work, so we're happy to have him. Thanks for having me on.
Always nice, Chris. Thanks a lot. BlackShoeDiaries.com, great spot for everything Penn State athletics. Man, we ran out that one a long time there, but you know, sometimes you just get in a discussion like that when you talk about expectations, and especially, I mean, it's a complicated spot they're in, and exactly where Bill O'Brien is, that's the question, and he's right. And when I was driving into State College on Saturday, I'm listening to Corey Geiger on their ESPN radio affiliate, and he's talking the same. He's saying everything right. And everyone seems to be, you know, positive about this guy right now. If he has 5 wins this fall, believe me, it's going to be a lot shorter of a leash. Not necessarily from the administration. They're going to give him a year or two. From the fans. And that's something you have to remember. Fans hold a little bit stronger of a stranglehold on Penn State sports now because that athletic department has lost a lot of trust. A lot of trust. And donations mean a ton. And fan support is huge for a program like Penn State. So coming up next, is it worse to lose in the first round like the Pittsburgh Penguins did, or is it worse to have your heart broken in the finals? We'll go to the polls next in the Locker Room Show. I'm Trevor Turner, ESPN Radio Leesport.